Hello and welcome back to PaleoCast. My name's Dave Marshall and joining me is Tom Fletcher, and we are looking at episode 7 of Life on Our Planet. Tom, you've got 14 seconds. 3, 2, 1, go.
Episode 7 is really the celebration of the mammals, their diversity, and all of the key transitions that they had, everything from bats to whales. It's a cool episode.
That was 10 seconds.
No way. Because we originally started with a 10 seconds. I'm proud of that. Good. I did the episode a real disservice by condensing it into 10 seconds, and I apologize, but got it.
There's an awful lot more than 10 seconds worth.
Yeah, there really is. This is a meaty sandwich, this one. It's got loads and loads of animals in. Modern and extinct. And it's just a showcase of mammalian evolution, really.
It is also a roller coaster.
Yeah, absolutely. There are some really emotional scenes in there, and there are also really dramatic ones too. So you're taken on a journey through some comedy, some intrigue, some really sad bits, and just the awe-inspiring whales at the end. I mean, it is a roller coaster. Yeah, you're right.
So if you have already seen the episode, then my interview with Darren, who is the one that was out there, the assistant producer who is responsible for the snow leopard scene, he reveals a lot of extra information, a lot of extra context that you don't get from what you see. And it is heartbreaking, and I almost cried. I was welling up as we were having that interview. That's how emotional it gets. So if you have seen it, then listen, it adds more. If you've not seen it, then I'm also glad that you're listening to this first, because it stays with you. Let's just put it that way.
Very, very powerful and a great piece of filmmaking.
Absolutely. And as I say to him, I'm so conflicted. I'm like, that is such a good piece of natural history documentary making, but also I wish I'd never seen it.
Yeah, it's nature red in tooth and claw, and it's hard to watch, but it's also a really important part of life is, you know, that these animals are living on the precipice. They're living in really extreme environments and they have challenges to face, and we shouldn't shy away from those challenges. And we don't. So yeah, it's an important piece of television, I think.
And in the context of this episode, we're also talking to Professor Christine Janis, who gives us an overview of mammalian evolution throughout the Cenozoic. And really, if I'm going to be talking about mammals with anyone, it would probably be with Christine.
Yeah, Christine is fantastic. I was very lucky that she was my master's supervisor for the jaw study that I did. And that project was really shaped by a vast wealth of knowledge and passion for this incredible group of creatures.
So what are some of the big transitions, the big events, the big changes that we see from this episode?
Well, we see some recovery from the KPG impact event, the massive extinction that wiped out those big dinosaurs. Obviously the birds survived, but those big dinosaurs are gone. And we have this niche that is ready to be filled by the mammals. And so we start in the forests, and this is a nice example of where we've used modern animals to demonstrate a concept, a point that is important. And that is that mammals are highly adaptable, and they're well suited to these dense forests that would have existed after the KPG, after the recovery period. So mammals starting small and getting intelligent. We go from coatis in South America to capuchin monkeys, some tool use there. As animals, they are really charismatic and quite funny. And we demonstrate some really nifty tricks that they've learned. I think there's a very strict definition of what tool use actually is, but they're certainly very intelligent and very resourceful. So that's probably one of the big things, really, especially relevant to us, is the evolution of intelligence, the building up of a society, I suppose, really, in these little lovely monkeys. but probably one of the most dramatic ones, of course, is that mammals start to take to the air and they start to take to the oceans again. Lots of animals are taken to the air before them. There was the birds, obviously, and we've got the pterosaurs, the now extinct pterosaurs at this stage in the series. And it's mammals' turn to do that. And bats make up about, I think, a quarter of all living species of mammal. They're really successful. And they do dominate the skies alongside the birds. They are the night to the bird's day. And so that's a really important thing that we cover. And we actually have an interaction between birds and bats in one sequence, so demonstrating quite how good they are in the air. But I think probably one of the most dramatic is the return to the oceans, because, yeah, obviously during our evolutionary history, fish to amphibians crawling out of the water for the first time, exploring a new habitat, taking advantage of the resources on land, the food sources, the escape route out of the oceans that was, at that time was full of big monstrous fish, and sea scorpions, Dave, I won't forget about them.
Nope.
So yeah, you've done that, you know, hundreds of millions of years before, and the mammals are returning to the oceans. You know, we obviously got seals and dugongs and that kind of thing, but the whale evolution is probably one of the most dramatic that we see. So we follow Miocetus, which is a sort of transition fossil between a land ancestor and modern whales. And we see it adventuring out into the oceans only to meet a more ancient predator. But I think that's by far the most dramatic transition that we see for the mammals.
And I'm guessing you were pretty pleased to get that predator in there. So that was a Atodus.
Yes, I'm always happy for big sharks. I think they are infinitely cool creatures and very beautiful creatures, even the biggest, most toothy ones amongst them. And yeah, Atodus is one of those that is absolutely huge. This particular species is Atodus obliquus, because that fit the time period of Miocetus. That then later on went to evolve into Megalodon, Atodus megalodon. So it's a very charismatic line of sharks, certainly.
I think one of my favorite scenes, and this is probably because I have a cat, is Smilodon just being a cat, acting in a way that reminds you that it's a cat. Whoever designed that scene definitely has a cat, because I recognize that behavior. I recognize the thought processes going in there, the patting of those glyptodonts, and especially the little ones. So it's like, is it going to get it?
yeah, it keeps you on the edge of your seat, that one. It's I think you're right. I think there's a lot of sort of cat owners that fed into that behavior, because I don't think we asked for those little touches initially, because it's roaming around them and it's sort of playing with them and toying with them, and you know, you get these little ear flicks from the Smilodon, and it's sort of like, you know, using its paw to pat the Didychuris and stuff like that, and even lick it at one point, you know. There's a lot of cat-like behavior in that scene, which is beautiful. And you know, we couldn't have hoped for better for that sequence. I think that's probably my favorite in this episode as well.
I also want to give a huge shout out to you getting circumpolar ocean currents into this.
Thank you very much. Yes, we didn't shy away from the technical language when it was needed. I think a really important part of outreach is just recognizing the fact that, especially something like paleontology, has a lot of jargon, and that can be quite off-putting for people. But in this particular case, it's such a significant beast. You know, I mean, it's one of the Earth's most important features at this time. It's starting to isolate Antarctica. Antarctica's starting to freeze. And with it taking all that moisture from the rest of the Earth, it's really one of the big causes of the drying out of these important biomes around Earth, and, you know, perhaps fueling extinction. So yeah, we had to talk about it, and I'm glad we did, because it's, there's no shorter way of saying circumpolar current though, unfortunately. If there was a more cool way of saying it, I certainly would have chosen that.
Antarctic roundabout.
That's the one, yeah.
Antarctic water roundabout.
Water roundabout. Strongest current on Earth as well.
The world's biggest lazy river.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm guessing there'll be a bigger one. I'm sure the Pacific is.
No, it's the fastest. The fastest and strongest. I think in terms of volume of water that moves through, especially that piece of land, you know, you've got the Argentina and South America, and you've got Antarctica. Through that gap, it's going incredibly quickly.
We need to rebrand it. Hey, kids, do you want to go in the world's fastest lazy river?
I don't think it would sell very well because it's too cold. Coldest river.
Rebrand it. It's cool.
Okay. You do that.
I should have been in marketing.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. All the puns.
So sell me the rest of this episode.
So after that point, after we talk about the Antarctic Circumpolar Currents, we go on to talk about the effect it had on biomes. And as I've just talked about, it's a drying. It's a removal of lots and lots of water from the Earth's systems, which means that we start to lose some of those lush rainforests and get more grasslands. And animals that were adapted to eat broad leaves and soft vegetation, they started to go extinct. And in this particular case, we talk about Megaceros, which is, I think they used to be called Brontotheres, or Brontotherium, sorry. And these are absolutely massive things. They're 3 tons in weight, 4 meters long. And yeah, they're absolute beasts. They sort of resemble rhinos. And we channeled rhinos as some of the behavior in this, with two of the males fighting each other. And then the other important aspect of the spreading of the grasslands is that, yes, grass had evolved in the time of the dinosaurs, but those grasslands didn't really spread until about maybe 25, 20 million years ago, when it was dry and there were lots of fires ravaging these great plains. And grass can grow from its roots upwards rather than most plants, which tend to grow from the tips of their branches. So grass was ready to take over, and with it came this slew of grazing animals that were adapted to eating quite a tough vegetation, quite a tough medium and tough food. And of course, with the evolution of things like, you know, zebra and wildebeest and the ones that we know today, came the super fast predators to prey on them. So really nice sequence with zebras and cheetahs. And that leads really nicely onto the plains of South America and the Didacoracene that we talked about. And it's talking about the extremes, really. The big cats especially are very adaptable, and probably one of the most adaptable of all is the snow leopard. So we talk about the growth of the Himalayas. We talk about the effect that has on climate. We meet the snow leopard in its native Himalayan home. And we know how that ends in that particular case. And yeah, having conquered the highest place on Earth, on land, we talk about mammals taking to the air. So a bit of a flip back to the earlier stages of the Cenozoic, talking about birds versus bats. And the other great transition, which is water, entering the water for the first time, going from land to water with the whales. And the climax of the whole film is following humpback whales as they go through this kind of mating ritual where they chase and chase and chase, and it's really quite violent. And the whole scene is beautifully shot. And I think they had to invent a new stabilized camera just to get those shots, because it's not the easiest thing to get a diver in the water following whales at whatever it is, 7 knots, you know. And right at the end, we meet possibly the most familiar mammal of all, a little sneak peek of episode 8 as some figures walk out of the snow. It's a good way to end. It's a good cliffhanger. Exactly. Who could that be?
Tom, you interchange zebra and zebra. I wasn't
sorry. I will write you a formal letter of apology, David. I apologize profusely. And I'd like to take this opportunity as well to apologize to all zebra and zebra that may be listening.
They, like I, do not accept your apology. Do better.
Okay.
Right. So let's get on with episode 7. It's a great one. Lots of mammaly information in there for you all. And we'll be back in episode 8 with some humans.